It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Community leaders in the Potomac Highlands are leaning on each other to help their communities cope with substance use disorders.
And they took me to rehab in Romney. And they've stuck with me ever since.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Some communities are trying to think outside the box to help people struggling with addiction. In the Potomac Highlands of the Eastern Panhandle, law enforcement, faith-based organizations, and community members want to create one robust network of support. As Liz McCormick reports, the network strives to combat stigma and offer a safety net that some say feels like family.
All right, I want to welcome all of you here. Most of you have been here before.
Once a month in Petersburg, West Virginia, these folks come together to discuss one thing: recovery efforts in the Potomac Highland counties of Grant, Hardy, Hampshire, Mineral, and Pendleton. This group is called PITAR. It stands for Prevention, Intervention, Treatment, Anti-Stigma, Recovery, and Reentry.
PITAR is not something that we created. We borrowed this model, adapted it from Harrison County.
That's Raj Massey. Massey is one of the founding members of the Petersburg group. Massey says forming a group like this was vital because getting resources and treatment is especially challenging for rural areas like the Potomac Highlands. For example, even here in Petersburg, one of the more populated communities in this region, there isn't a detox or rehabilitation center.
I think what is cool about our community is not having these big services like other parts of the state, like Huntington, Charleston, Morgantown, Clarksburg, Martinsburg, which has these things in place. We've had to be really be creative and adapt and build partnerships, you know. So these are things that I think this community has stepped up.
The group started in 2016 and is made up of a range of members, like faith leaders, public school boards, police, fire, and health departments, and even a local transportation agency. There are also peer recovery coaches who have been through addiction and recovery themselves. That's what helped 23-year-old Estella Lambert.
I was addicted to about everything in 2016.
Lambert is from Petersburg. After her mom told their pastor of her struggles with addiction, the pastor reached out to the folks at PITAR. Lambert says if the group hadn't helped her, she probably wouldn't have made it.
And they took me to rehab in Romney. And they've stuck with me ever since.
Lambert is now a peer recovery coach. One of those members who helped Lambert was Roger Dodd. Dodd is a veteran, and for about 40 years, Dodd struggled with heroin addiction and alcoholism. In 2014, he entered recovery. Today, he works with PITAR as a peer recovery support specialist. Dodd says the reason PITAR is successful is because towns in the Potomac Highlands have that small-town feel, and everyone knows everyone.
It's that knowing of people. We're not strangers. We're not people thrown together in this huge mixing bowl. We are people who basically have been here forever. You know, we are descendants of the people that came across the mountains and chopped all the trees down and made a town here. And that counts for something.
Dodd attributes those qualities of closeness and family to why their recovery efforts have done so well. PITAR in Petersburg offers programs ranging from group recovery meetings to therapy to peer recovery counseling and even transportation to anywhere in the region. There's Narcan trainings, fentanyl test kits given out, access to Vivitrol and harm reduction services, and there's even opportunities to help folks find employment while they're going through recovery. But getting everyone in the Potomac Highlands on board with recovery efforts hasn't been easy or perfect. Despite the message of safety and openness from PITAR, stigma still lives on. But Dodd says it is getting better.
Before, it was like, oh, well, that's an incurable thing. He's a drug addict. He's never going to be anything else. But now people are saying, well, we could get him to rehab. We could try detox. And I think a lot of that has to do with television. On TV and in the movies, these folks are getting to be more and more sympathetic characters, instead of the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And I think that that permeates throughout society a little more.
Dodd says more education and understanding will continue to break the stigma surrounding substance use disorder. The folks at PTAR say the biggest thing now is they'd love to see more funding to help establish more detox and rehab centers throughout the region. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Liz McCormick in Petersburg.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health and Charleston Area Medical Center. In the most recent episode of Inside Appalachia, we hear stories about how communities in southern West Virginia are trying to jumpstart their economy through tourism. Inside Appalachia, associate producer Eric Douglas worked in a small newspaper in Matewan nearly 30 years ago. To get an idea of some of the changes that the community has seen since, he recently returned to speak with people about tourism, economics, and the vision they have for Mingo County's future. He spoke to Jessica Lilly about what he found.
So what does the town today look like compared to when you were reporting there nearly 30 years ago?
The two biggest stories I was reporting on at the time were the incoming flood wall that had not been built yet, but in reaction to a couple pretty devastating floods that hit the town. And the movie Matewan by John Sayles had just been released a couple years before. So that was still the buzz, and that was, everyone was talking about Matewan. And for to build the flood wall, they literally had to raise part of the town that was outside of the flood wall and then reorient the way you entered the town. When I was down there recently, I spoke with David Hatfield. He and his wife own a bed and breakfast in the town. Here's how he sees the changes that have come to his town because of the flood wall.
30 years ago, you had coal trucks running up down the street here because the main highway came right through the middle of Mate Street, which is the main street here in town. There were businesses that were geared around the coal industry. You had restaurants, you had clothing stores, you had all these typical small town retail businesses back then. Well, since the coal business has dried up steadily, then those businesses have dried up steadily. But when the flood wall was done, they moved the road to main highway back here on the other side of town. So it took the main flow of traffic out of the main street here in town. And they said that's what killed downtown Matewan. But I look at it as possibly being a blessing eventually if we could turn this into a tourist town, and you could see the Matewan Massacre being redone here every day, and we had small shops and a lot of people walking here in the streets. It's a blessing that that main traffic is now over there and we could have that foot traffic. So I think it really it is a blessing, and we could turn it, we could use it that way.
Yeah, and one of the big moves is to focus on tourism across the state of West Virginia, and it seems like in lots of parts of Central Appalachia. So this means that instead of bringing home fat salaries from mining coal, residents will have minimum wage type jobs, is my understanding, is the types of jobs that comes from the tourism industry.
I think it's got to help, I mean, versus no jobs at all. But it's really going to be impossible to replace those $70,000 to $100,000 a year coal jobs. I mean, they're at least with tourism jobs anyway. In Mingo County, the coal jobs that have dropped off, at one point there were 3,000 people or so working in coal mining, whether it was driving coal trucks or actively mining themselves. And that actually brought in $130 million in wages. That was about a third of all the jobs in the county were coal mining related. And more than half of the income, according to the government records. Today, there's about 1,300 people working in the coal mining industry for $107 million worth of income. The problem is $1,991 dollars versus $2,019 dollars. $130 million in 1991 is equal to about $245 million today.
It's decreased even more than what the numbers on the surface might indicate.
Exactly.
Okay. And it is my understanding, to be fair, that while it might not replace some of the coal jobs, it's a way for the community to find ways to take pride mm-hmm. in where they live and fix things up so that not only tourists who visit for a week, but perhaps even businesses might be attracted to the region
sure.
and start more. Or, you know, and also entrepreneurship to start our own businesses.
There's a lot of people who are stepping up. David Hatfield that I mentioned earlier, and we'll hear from again, but he said there's four or five places within just a few miles of where he was inmate one that are providing lodging services. His bed and breakfast holds about 40 people, and most of them are there to visit or to ride the ATV trail system.
We've been happy with the results. Our business is steadily growing, and most of that is due to the trail system. So the Half of McCoy Trails is playing an integral part in the development of tourism here in the southern part of West Virginia.
That's interesting. So he sees the tourist dollars from the Hatfield-McCoy Trail system as a very positive thing. It's done well for him.
It has done well for him. He's not making huge amounts of money at this point, but he's doing okay. But at the same time, he recognizes that ATV tourism isn't going to save Mingo County or southern West Virginia. It's just not going to bring those same kind of jobs that coal once did.
The trail system is kind of like our respirator. We're on life support.
He thinks that the area needs to attract tourists who can ride the rivers, expand its tourism just beyond the four-wheeling, because not everyone's going to be able to do that. I spoke to a father and daughter who have West Virginia roots, but they actually have lived in Georgia, the daughter all her life, and the father grew up in Bluefield in that area, but had moved away 50 years ago. The father, Bill Powell, said he'd been planning this trip to West Virginia for some years now.
We came specifically to Mate One because I'd wanted to see the site of the origin, the Bloody Mate One business. We'll work our way back to Bramble, going to Colwood and some places like that, and then we've got to head back south tomorrow.
His daughter Gwen said she was reasonably surprised by what they found as they traveled to places in McDowell and Mingo counties, and she said she'd like to come back and stay longer.
We've enjoyed having all the different foods. We found an authentic Greek restaurant right there in the middle of Kimball.
Yes.
We pulled off and saw coal being taken out and put on the train cars, and have found abandoned cities. I mean, the city of Jaeger?
Yep. Jaeger, yeah.
Jaeger looks like literally a forgotten town that is, there's still a pocket here or there of people, but you could just see what has been, what was once a proud town has literally been forgotten.
Actually, sitting on the front porch of David Hatfield's bed and breakfast, I sat down next to a gentleman named Rich Roach. Rich actually is from Hagerstown, Maryland. And he's been coming for the last 6 or 7 years now, comes to Mate One and spends a week and just enjoys the town. But he's not there for the Hatfields and McCoys trails either. He said he actually watched the movie Mate One back in 1987 and has been intrigued by the area ever since. Finally, just a few years ago, decided he was going to come to Mate One. So he and his wife picked up, and Rich said that they've had such a great experience in coming to Mate One into West Virginia that they come back every year for a week.
About 6 years ago, finally said, you know what, we're gonna hop in the car and we're gonna go down and spend a week down in the Mate One area and explore all that history. And then when we got down here, kind of got more interested in the Hatfields and McCoy component as well as the Mate One component.
That was Rich Roach, a tourist who visits Mate One, West Virginia every year. Before that, we heard Inside Appalachia's Jessica Lilly and Eric Douglas. You can hear more stories exploring the economic impacts of tourism for Southern West Virginia in the latest episode of Inside Appalachia. Find it on wvpublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.